Never heard of it, but
you can come on the
you're half my age.
You do it as a team, so we'll do it as
a team. Right. Naomi.
Steven Spielberg's The Goonies. I watched that on repeat many times as a child, and I want the next generation to have as much joy from it with a remake as I did when I was young.
Angela.
Well, I was going to say Lassie, but then dog owners have become so militant these days that it's really put me off doing that. So I'm going to stay in the animal theme and go for Black Beauty because I love that horse.
Love the theme tune.
Reborn as
I could sing it to you if you want, but
please,
I won't. No, no, no.
Didn't she? She got reborn on the Lloyd's Bank advert anyway, didn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Black Beauty was absolutely
fabulous.
Brilliant. Do you remember Follyfoot as well?
Yeah, Follyfoot Farm.
I remember.
Skippy the Bush Kangaroo, that'd be my choice.
Skippy, yeah.
Alex.
I think some things are best left untouched, and they were good in their heyday, excellent TV shows. Bringing them back only makes them worse. So, I really enjoyed Yes, Prime Minister, but the remake of that was shocking. So I think let's not ruin things by trying to reinvent
the wheel. Does that mean you don't want the Spice Girls to get back together?
Yes, I don't. Definitely don't. Right, thank you all very much indeed. Monday's panel includes the General Secretary of Britain's largest trade union, Unison, Christina McEnany, Conservative MP Harriet Cross, and the Daily Telegraph columnist Ella Whelan. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to return to the first question on Cross Question about drugs. Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the partial decriminalisation of cannabis possession. I'm not going to ask you, well, I am going to ask you if you agree with that, but I want to ask a deeper question. Because if you decriminalise soft drugs, so-called soft drugs, like cannabis, what is the argument for not decriminalising other drugs too? Do you not think there is a slippery slope argument here? Because in some ways this argument is dominated by inaccuracy, it's dominated by hypocrisy. So let's try and introduce a little bit of sense into it over the next hour. So do you think drugs should be decriminalised? And if so, how far would you go?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims a Hamas leader in Gaza, Mohammed Sinwar, has been killed. That hasn't been confirmed by the IDF. Meanwhile, with Gaza on the brink of famine, the Palestinian ambassador to the United Nations broke down in tears as he spoke about the suffering of its people. The US President Donald Trump insists they're accelerating deliveries.
We're getting food to the people of Gaza. It's been a very nasty situation, very nasty fight. October 7th was a very nasty day, the worst that I think I've ever seen.
Criminal charges have been confirmed against Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan in the UK. In total, they're accused of 21 offences, including rape and human trafficking. Well, LBC's reporter Joe Hawkins has more on this.
Of these 21 authorised charges, we've learned about Andrew Tate is accused of 10, including rape, actual bodily harm, human trafficking and controlling prostitution for gain, relating to 3 alleged victims. His brother Tristan faces 11, including rape, actual bodily harm and human trafficking against 1 alleged victim. They both deny all of these charges.
A retired paedophile surgeon who admitted sexually abusing hundreds of children in France has been jailed for 20 years. Jean-Louis Swarnec, who's 74, was described by prosecutors as a devil in a white coat. He admitted attacking young patients in more than a dozen hospitals between 1989 and 2014. Police have been given more time to question a man arrested over the Liverpool Victory Parade collision. A 53-year-old is being held after a car was driven into a crowd in the city centre on Monday. At least 79 people were injured. 7 remain in hospital. Our reporter Liam Gotting, who's in Liverpool, has the latest for LBC.
We know he's currently being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. Now, Merseyside Police revealed yesterday that their current belief is that the car involved in the incident was able to get onto Water Street by following an ambulance through a roadblock which had been temporarily lifted.
And Princess Diana's brother says a farmhouse on the estate of her former family home has been burnt by vandals. Earl Spencer says no one was inside the property on the Althorp estate overnight. In the city, the FTSE 100 has closed down 52 points at 87.26. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.19. LBC weather, heavy rain in the north tonight, lighter in the far south and southeast, and a low of 6 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
Four minutes past nine on LBC. Welcome to the programme if you've just joined us, and thank you for staying with us if you've been with us from seven. Now, Sir Sadiq Khan has backed calls for the partial decriminalisation of cannabis possession, as a wide-ranging study suggests the way the drug is policed causes greater harm to society than its usage. Now, in particular, it found the use of stop-and-search powers disproportionately affecting black communities. He said, "I've long been clear that we need fresh thinking on how to reduce the substantial harms associated with drug-related crime in our communities." He added that the report said the current sentencing of those caught in possession of natural cannabis cannot be justified given the relative harm and people's experience of the justice system. Now, this Drugs Commission, the Independent London Drugs Commission, which has produced the report a year after being set up by Sadiq Khan, stressed it was not promoting the blanket legalisation of cannabis. Rather, its central recommendation was that possession of small quantities of natural cannabis for personal use should no longer be criminalised. Well, I suppose it depends on what your definition of small quantities are. Now, the production and distribution of the drug should still be tackled by police, it said, and it explicitly excluded synthetic cannabis from its decriminalisation calls. Frankly, I have no idea what that means. What is the difference between... Well, I suppose it's obvious, the difference between synthetic and natural, but I don't know if synthetic cannabis is innately more harmful to people than natural cannabis. Now, the commissioners, led by the former Justice Secretary, Lord Faulkner, worked with academics from University College London to gather evidence from more than 200 experts and academics from around the world. So it does seem to be evidence-based. They found that making cannabis a Class B drug under the Misuse of Drugs Act is, quote, disproportionate to the harms it can pose relative to other drugs controlled by the Act. They say the sentencing options currently available, especially for personal possession, cannot be justified when balanced against the longer-term impacts of experience of the justice system, including stop and search, or of serving a criminal sentence can have on a person. They added that policing of the drug focuses on certain ethnic communities, particularly the black community, creating damaging, long-lasting consequences for individuals, wider society, and police and community relations. While they found potential short-term benefits in legalisation, such as tax revenues and reductions in criminalisation, they stressed that the extent of harms, particularly with respect to public health, as well as personal and societal costs, take longer to emerge and are not yet well understood. So, let's talk firstly about the conclusions. Would you agree that the possession of small amounts of cannabis should be decriminalised? If you agree with that, how much further would you go? Because there is an argument for the decriminalisation of all drugs. I don't agree with that, but I have great difficulty defining where I would draw a line, because I do think that the laws on cannabis probably do need to be liberalised in some shape or form. Whether it's decriminalisation or legalisation, I don't know. I used to think that I was all in favour of Nancy Reagan's Just Say No, the war on drugs. But clearly the war on drugs has not been won. It can never be won. So therefore, if we legalise it, if we regulate it, if we tax it, then that may well be a better system than the one that we currently have. But again, I cannot say to you, well, I think we should allow heroin to be legalised. I think we should allow crack cocaine to be legalised. I mean, I sort of slightly recoil in horror at the thought of that. But people do argue that we would have much less of a drugs problem if we did do that. So how far would you go if you are in favour of legalising some or all drugs? 0345 6060 973. Well, Meg Jones joins me from the drug harm reduction charity Cranston. Meg, very good evening to you. Let's start with talking about this London Drugs Commission report today. What are your conclusions from it?
Good evening, Ian. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, a really interesting report that's come out today. And at Cranston, we provided both verbal and written evidence. We deliver a number of services, and in particular, a diversion programme that already operates in a number of police forces across the country. So these are schemes that can be introduced now. They're not currently available across London. But what it means is, instead of going down a criminal justice route for what is a simple drug possession offence, people are instead diverted to us at Cranston. And we do an assessment of that individual, and we focus on the education, the harm reduction of that drug. And what we've found is that it significantly reduces police time, over 4 hours per case. It reduces disproportionality, which has been one of the key issues that has come out of the report today, where we know that in London, young black men are 3 times more likely to be stopped and searched. So it's about taking a public health approach and allowing the police to focus resources on some really high profile priorities, such as violence against women and girls, which is obviously this government's key priority as well, and knife crime. So we really welcome the report, because I think it's about time that we did have a really sensible, grown-up, pragmatic conversation about drugs in this country. Because as you quite rightly said, the War on Drugs and the Misuse of Drugs Act, just say no, hasn't worked. So let's look at the evidence, and let's look at what we do differently and what we can get on and do now.
What can you tell us about the harmful effects of, I sort of floundered a bit when I was talking about synthetic cannabis, because I have absolutely no idea what that is and how that may or may not be more harmful than natural cannabis. But we know that some forms of cannabis can have severe mental health effects on some people. Now, I don't know whether that's 1% of cannabis users or 10%, but people who argue that there should be no liberalisation point to that as the main reason.
And I think that's exactly why we need a public health response, because there are significant overlaps with drug use, mental health, and supporting people with sometimes problematic drug use. Unfortunately, the way that drugs are currently treated through a criminal justice process means people are actually reluctant to reach out for help and support due to the fear of receiving a criminal justice sanction, which often can be far more damaging for young people to get that criminal justice sanction than the drug itself. So if we change the narrative of this and treat that drug use as a public health issue, actually, what we'll find is more people will seek treatment, more people will understand the harms that can be caused from drugs. And we see that through a lot of the work that we do through social media and through our diversion scheme, that actually young people have not received hardly any or very poor quality drug education in school or other form of education.
So how would you like to see the law changed personally?
So I think in the first instance, there's a lot that we can do already within the existing legal framework. So at the moment, we can already deliver diversion schemes that will deal with a lot of the issues that this report has raised. We know through delivery of our diversion scheme that it reduces disproportionality. So that's really important in terms of the relationship between police and communities and increasing that trust and confidence. So I think we have to focus on what we can do right now. In terms of, looking ahead at what else could happen within the law, I think we also need to look beyond cannabis. So we know, for example, over the past year that ketamine use among young people has risen dramatically. This isn't just an issue of cannabis. This is an issue of all drugs that need to be treated as a public health crisis, because we're also witnessing some of the synthetic drugs coming in to the market. And
just explain what that word means.
So if you look across North America, we're seeing synthetic opioids come into the market, which can be up to 500 times stronger than heroin. So that is a real issue, because we are already facing the highest drug-related deaths in Europe, particularly in Scotland. So our approach doesn't work, That's exactly why we welcome a changing approach. But it'll be really interesting to hear what your listeners think as well, because this is about having a sensible grown-up conversation. We've had too many decades of being soft on crime, soft on drugs, and actually what we need to do is follow the evidence base and make sure actually that we're doing some really sensible, pragmatic things, such as our sort of diversion schemes instead.
Thank you very much indeed, Meg. That's Meg Jones from the drug harm reduction charity Cranston. Susan Hall joins me, Conservative London Assembly member and former London mayoral candidate. She's a member of the Assembly's Police and Crime Committee and its former chair. Susan, very good evening to you. Now, Sadiq Khan launched this commission a year ago. What were his aims for it, do you think? Because he doesn't have any jurisdiction over drugs policy, does he?
No, he doesn't. And that's one of my irritations, because there are so many things that are of a problem to do with policing in London at the moment. This report, if you read various bits into it, it indicates it's been written, I would say, for about 6 months. So I'm not quite sure why it's come out now. The commissioner has clearly stated that drug use is driving antisocial behaviour and acquisitive crime, which, as you know, is going through the roof, and that a change in the law on cannabis is not something that they're calling for. They have got so many problems at the moment. We're losing many metropolitan police off our streets in London, and I can only really talk for London. I know you cover everywhere, but I know the figure's more in London. We are losing so many police officers. We have so many issues. The knife crime in England and Wales, London is responsible for a third of it. So the police have got so much to do at the moment. One of the recommendations...
Just on that, Susan, surely... I totally accept what you're saying there, but if one of your priorities is to free up police time, why do you want police sort of investigating people for just having a minor amount of cannabis in their possession?
Well, you don't know it's a minor amount until that there's a stop and search. They could be supplying it. You don't know that until you stop and search. And you, right at the very beginning, you said, how much is a small amount? I couldn't answer any more than you could. And I don't know whether this synthetic cannabis is worse than the original. I do know that in 2005 to, I think, yes, it was 2005 to 2011, they did a finding that cannabis decriminalisation in an area, and they found that use was increased drastically, that the area became, you know, quite bad, and that house prices went down because there was so much crime in, I think it was in Lambeth. So they've tried little bits and pieces before where the police haven't taken any notice, but they know it does fuel... It does fuel crime.
Well, do we know that? Because if you look at places around the world where not just cannabis has been decriminalised, I mean, people often quote Portugal as the leading example here, but there are various states in the United States also. I don't think it has led to increased crime. In fact, quite the reverse.
Well, it depends where you take your statistics from. And I've been told that it does increase crime. And the more it's decriminalised, the more likely it is to be taken. And very often that is in the poorer areas. And then that's when you start getting county lines involved. And that, of course, leads to stronger drugs.
But if it was decriminalised, then county lines drugs wouldn't have a market. The people who run them wouldn't have a market.
Well, and if everything was decriminalised, my answer to your question is absolutely not. I would not decriminalise it.
Do you not think, though, that people of... I'm going to say people of our age group. I have no idea if you are younger or older than me, but I'm kind of assuming that we're roughly the same age. I'm going to look you up in a minute.
I think you're very kind.
thank God for that. Do you not think that we tend to look at this through the lens of our youth, where... drug taking certainly when I was at university in the mid-1980s, I would not have known where to go to find drugs if I'd wanted them. And then I remember going to visit a friend in America in 1987, and literally he and all of his friends were smoking joints every day. And I was profoundly shocked by this. I mean, I'm sounding very square, but I really was. And I completely agreed with the war on drugs. But do we not have to adapt our thinking to the times that we live in and accept that quite a large proportion of today's 18, 20, 25-year-olds, they are using these drugs, whether we like it or not. So surely it would be better to regulate their use rather than just stick to this line where we try and pretend that the war on drugs can be won.
It can't be won. You and I both know that. I mean, you don't live in London anymore, I know that, but I do, and you've only got to go on the trains, you've only got to walk down the streets, you smell it all the time. I grant you that. That is right. And you could be right. I mean, I was never offered drugs when I was younger. I've never taken them either, so I'm pretty ignorant on how all the different drugs work. All I do know is that you do see people completely, as people would say, off their heads on drugs so often now. I really think it should not be decriminalised. I think we should perhaps draw a line somewhere. This report, it more or less concludes that supplying it, you should maybe be in trouble with the law for doing that, but not actually having it. But of course, that puts the police in an even more difficult position. If they stop and search somebody and they've got an amount with them, you said it at the beginning, how would you know whether that was for their personal use or whether they were actually going to sell it to somebody? It just puts yet more onus on the police to make these decisions.
Susan, thank you very much indeed. That's Susan Hall there, Conservative Group Leader on the London Assembly. Let's get your views in a moment. 0345 6060 973. How far would you go in decriminalising drugs, if at all? 21 minutes past nine.
This is LBC.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity. We actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power. Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
A Southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Ready, steady, the Toyotathon sale event is on! Race down to your nearest Toyota centre and save up to an extra £1,000 on a new Toyota. But hurry, deals must end 31st of May. The Toyotathon sale event is on! Offer valid on eligible new vehicle orders 1st to 31st of May and registered by 31st of July 2025. Retail customers only. T&Cs apply. See toyota.co.uk for details.
How would you like to be a Win Plus winner? Enter now to win huge cash prizes and loads more at winplus.co.uk. 18 plus, GB only, T&Cs apply.
Leading Britain's conversation. Ian Dale. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
22 minutes past nine. This is one of those subjects where everybody's got a view on the subject, but sometimes I wonder how well informed are our views on this? Because, as I said, I can't explain to you the difference between synthetic cannabis and natural cannabis. There are various shades of cannabis. As I understand it, a lot of the cannabis that people take nowadays is much stronger than it was when cannabis was around in the 1980s. Now, again, that will have significant impact on some people's mental health. Archie says, Lord Faulkner said on the radio this morning that 90% of cannabis users are unharmed by the experience. Well, that means 10% are, and I would say that that's quite a large percentage. And that, I think, has to inform our view as well. If it was 1%, then you could say, well, OK, you're OK to take the risk, but if it's 10%, really? Roger's a new caller in Islington. Hello, Roger.
Oh, hi, Ian. It's the first time I've called you.
Well, welcome.
And I was motivated to phone in because I'm a doctor. I'm an anaesthetist in central London, and I've lived in Islington for a long time. And I'm sat here this evening on a nice warm summer evening with the window open, and I live near a park, and the smell of marijuana is wafting through my entire house, as it often does. And I do agree with you in your initial opening statements that how far should we go? I think there is a very important distinction to be made between decriminalisation and legalisation. And your initial point was, well, should we legalise all drugs? We clearly have lost the war on drugs and are losing the war on drugs. We see the harmful effects of it. I certainly see the harmful effects of drug abuse, drug misuse, and that includes alcohol and cigarettes. In my daily practice as a doctor, I see it in A&E. And I worry that our mayor's motivation or movement to prevent the criminalisation of our youth, particularly our Black African and Black Caribbean youth, especially in Hackney and Islington where I live, his motivation to protect them and to prevent them from having their life chances negatively affected is actually going to open the doors to the criminal gangs that produce the synthetic cannabinoids and the synthetic cannabis that causes so much problem in that population. If we were to completely legalize it and take it under the control of government production, have it regulated in terms of the Medicines Health and Regulatory Authority in the same way that drugs like aspirin and paracetamol were made, make it only available in certain places, and have it very, very well controlled, I think that'd be a lot safer than the policy that's being proposed by our mayor.
Well, the argument there, I think, is slightly different, isn't it? Because if there was a total legalisation and everything was regulated and controlled, maybe there were, I don't know, official government drug shops or something, I mean, perish the thought, but I think there are one or two countries that do operate that, then what you would be doing is enabling people to take maybe sort of the weaker versions of various drugs, but there would still be a black market in really hard drugs that are, I mean, like marijuana would be available, but sort of stronger forms of skunk, I'm feeling terribly trendy using all these words, stronger forms of drugs would still be supplied by criminals. So you wouldn't actually eradicate the drugs trade.
No, I would actually kind of disagree with that. If you make a comparison to the drugs that are legal now, like alcohol, we don't have underground liquor distilleries providing stronger forms of alcohol than are currently available. I don't say that alcohol does not cause problems, but alcohol is regulated to a certain degree, taxed, but only available to people of a certain age and in certain places. There is an argument that I would say that alcohol is too freely available. I mean, I can't believe I live in a country where you can buy bottles of whiskey in a petrol station, but that's a different argument for a different day. But I think your argument that if you were to legalize, regulate the weaker forms of marijuana, then the criminal underground would provide the stronger forms. I don't think that would happen. I think you would be able to buy marijuana of varying strength, but certainly not the synthetic cannabinoids, which I have witnessed cause serious mental illnesses and serious problems. You only need to look into our prison populations, where often the only drugs available are the synthetic cannabinoids, to see the damage that it does. And as I say, I live in central London, and I work in an environment where I see the damage that it does. I might even go further to say that you should legalize all drugs. They should all be under the auspices of government production and government control, and therefore taxed and regulated, and not provided so that people can take drugs on the streets or take, because that's often the only places they're able to do it. You know, because it's an unregulated illegal activity, people do it on the streets, in the parks. If you could go to a shop, buy whatever you needed and consume it at home in a safe environment, I think that would be better than where we're going. I just worry that it's an easy option that Mayor Khan has taken. It's easy to decriminalise because that means it takes the job of policing the people in the parks who are taking it now, where I'm sat this evening, it means they don't need to bother them anymore. What's harder is to legalise it and then police the situation once you've legalised it. You see what I mean?
I think I'm immune to the smell of cannabis because people tell me when I'm walking through Leicester Square, oh my God, can you smell the cannabis? And I just genuinely can't. And
I
yeah, well, I pity you because I think if I did recognise it, I really probably wouldn't like it. Roger, thank you very much indeed. A shout out to Mr. Richard, he says it's a great pleasure listening to you from Ghana in West Africa. I still get a kick whenever I hear from somebody who's listening to this show from a different country. I know it's really silly, but I just love it that we now have a worldwide audience. I remember the days when I first joined the station when we were just a London station, and I used to get a kick out of hearing from people from Huddersfield. Well, now it's Ghana. It's a lot of people listen to this show in Australia. It's their breakfast show. And so hello to all of our Australian listeners. If you've got views, wherever you're listening in the world, on this subject, on the legalisation or decriminalisation of drugs and how far that should go, we'd love to hear from you over the next half an hour. 0345 6060973. And if you are phoning from abroad, just put the country code 44 and then 345-6060-973. It's 9:30 on LBC. Daryl Jackson has the news headlines.
Israeli forces haven't been able to confirm the death of Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar, despite Benjamin Netanyahu claiming he's been eliminated. He was included in a list of leaders killed by recent strikes on Gaza. Andrew Tate has been charged with 10 counts of rape against three women in the UK. In total, the social media influencer and his brother Tristan are facing 20 offences, which include human trafficking and actual bodily harm. They've previously denied allegations against them. Police have been given more time to question a driver on suspicion of attempted murder over Monday's Liverpool parade collision. Seven people are still in hospital. LBC weather, heavy rain in the north tonight, lighter in the far south and southeast, a low of 6 degrees.
This is LBC.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. Discovering amazing destinations like Ibiza, Lanzarote and Crete. And relaxing in the sun with award-winning VIP service from the Which? Travel Brand of the Year 2024. So, book now from London Stansted with Jet 2 Holidays. Package holidays you can trust. Up to not all protected, subject to availability and conditions.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose. Selected stores and lines, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
Looking for a fun-filled day out this spring? The O2 has it all. Catch the latest blockbuster at Cineworld or challenge your friends with interactive football at Toker Social. Take on darts, mini-golf and more at Boom Battle Bar. Get active with a game of paddle tennis, climb to new heights or take flight with an indoor skydive at iFly. Feeling hungry? Choose from over 30 bars and restaurants and discover flavours from around the world. Search Do More at the O2 to start planning your perfect day.
Ian Dale. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
9:33 on LBC. I'm now getting a raft of texts telling me where you're listening. Toronto, Canada says... can't see the name there. Alf, I think. Listening from Spain. I imagine a lot of people listen in Spain. I want to hear from the most exotic country that you're listening to. Now, I'll be the judge of what counts as exotic. David is in Kingston. Hello, David. And I'm assuming that's not Kingston, Jamaica.
Oh, I wish it was. most people would be horrified at the idea of heroin, for example, a really hard drug being legalised. And this, you raise an interesting question of how far do you go? And I want people to imagine that you have a loved one, maybe a mother or a sister or a daughter, who unfortunately, for whatever situation, found themselves addicted to such a substance. Now, why would you think it would be preferable for that vulnerable relative to purchase their heroin from a drug dealer rather than their doctor?
Well, it's an interesting question.
I mean, I've been in that situation, and obviously, unfortunately, thousands of people are. And from that experience, believe me, you would much rather it came from a doctor and would have the incentive to reduce the amount they were on, just as much as they would if someone was addicted to morphine after a car accident, become addicted to it, and the doctor reduces the amount that they're on, perhaps gives them the therapy and everything else that they need. So from the very hardest, most dangerous drugs, of course it makes sense to legalize them all the way down because it makes them safer. And the whole notion that people say, oh, well, that means everyone become heroin addicts, is a stupid thing to think because it's not based on any evidence. That used to be what happened in this country in the 1970s. I think it was 72 when the drug laws changed. And then it was got taken out of the hands of the NHS, which is where addicts got their heroin from. And since then, heroin addicts exploded. So you get far more addicts in an illegal system when you have drugs being pushed by drug pushers rather than the other way around, which is what used to happen in this country when we had a really minimum amount of heroin addicts.
Of course, that then raises another question, doesn't it? Because if the heroin is being supplied by a doctor, therefore it becomes a cost to the NHS. I have absolutely no clue what the annual cost to the NHS would be if all of these hard drugs were legalised and then supplied by the NHS. But I think most taxpayers would think, well, I'm sorry, that's too far. I don't see why the taxpayer should have to pay for this.
Okay, so if you have money, you could support your heroin addiction. Most people can't afford to be spending, cannot afford it, so they end up going into prostitution, or they could be going into mugging people or burgling houses. I would say that the amount of money, the amount of percentage of criminals involved in those kind of things, shoplifting, burglary, who have a heroin addiction is very high. I mean, I think as I've heard it's 70%, but don't quote me on that. So the idea that it's going to cost money is again, completely not true as well. And you're going to go in the long-term effect of helping these people to get them free from these substances. It's been proven to work. And instead of doing that, we're leaving people to just carry on committing crime, and they're at the mercy of the drug dealers who will take any stolen property or anything like that at all. And it's just become a scourge on our society. We can deal with that straight away by doing so. And there's no logical argument for any drug being made illegal because it makes them less safe and it makes it more likely for more people to use them. There's no problem with supply. If you're addicted to cocaine, most people don't give up cocaine because they can't get it. They have to throw away their phone and delete their numbers because they've got 10 people on their phone that are ready to sell them.
Can you think of a country that has legalised any hard drugs?
Well, no. But the point is that it used to be like that. We don't have to go back that far either. We already have the data. In fact, it was after 1972, they done a trial of it in Plymouth, exactly the same thing which I'm talking about. And single mothers that were going into prostitution and other people that were, you know, prolific burglars managed to get themselves free because they were being supported by a doctor that reduced the amount they were on, gave them the help they needed. Because when you're in that kind of cycle of addiction, you don't want to be like that. Your life is a nightmare. And they need help rather than just being, like I said, at the mercy of ruthless criminals. It's wrong to people to leave our loved ones in the hands of these people.
Okay, thank you very much indeed, David. Ian says, I'm listening from Manila in the Philippines. It's 4:35 on Thursday morning. Well, I don't think I've ever talked to anyone from the Philippines before, on the radio anyway. Let's go to... Oh, now, this is an interesting name. Neophytus is a new caller in Hackney. Hello, what would you like to say?
Hello, Ian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yes, I'd like to say, I think England's living in the dark ages. It needs to be legalised. I know Sadiq Khan announced that he just wants to decriminalise it. I mean, it's ridiculous now. It's gone beyond a joke. You got young kids in council estates growing up. The first thing they think to get money is start selling weed. You know, it's all over the place. They're all trying to... All the young generation are obsessed with cannabis now. They're watching the TikToks and seeing other countries around the world where it's legal, like Germany, Netherlands, Canada. many states in America, and they're never going to fix the problem. Weed is always going to be in demand in the UK, whether they like it or not. England need to stop being so, I don't know, like Sadiq can't even announce, ask them today, the Home Office, if they can make the weed decriminalised. And they straight away said no. And I'm like, what's wrong with these people? What world are they living in? It's such a big illegal, so much illegal money going through this every year. It's ridiculous. I mean, I speak through someone with experience as well. I'm an artist and I've grown up in Hackney. I go by the name of Tug of War. And I used to sell weed when I was a young age. I'm a musician now. I managed to turn my life around so I don't have to sell cannabis. And it really hurts me to see young kids selling cannabis. And I think it's ridiculous. Any cannabis user has to go on the street corner to buy unregulated weed. It's bad for the NHS. It's bad for their health. It's supporting the crime gangs. It's absolutely ridiculous. England's living in the dark ages with this one.
But where would you draw the line? Because I understand all your arguments for decriminalising cannabis, but you could equally make those arguments using the same logic, the same arguments for cocaine, for heroin, for whatever. Would you draw a line?
I would draw a line. I think Class A drugs like heroin and cocaine, I think it should be something in place for heroin and cocaine users as well. Because heroin users, they give them methadone in the chemist for them. I mean, they try to give them substitutes for the heroin. So I think there should be something in place for the harder drugs as well. But when it comes to cannabis, which is not a hard drug, in my eyes, alcohol is worse than cannabis. You know, I've never seen someone smoke cannabis and go home and beat their wife up. We've heard many times guys have gone to the pub, got drunk and gone home and there's been domestic violence. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous, you know. It's really gone beyond the joint. Especially for the Class B drug, I think there should be some sort of control for all drugs, because you're just leaving a criminal enterprise to make the money. There's so much. Could you imagine how much billions in tax money the government's losing, and they're looking for funding for this? Sadiq Khan needs 240 million for that. The gangs are turning over billions and billions and billions every year. I mean, it's ridiculous and unregulated, and the demand is always going to be there. So the government basically going to sit back and watch everybody buy unregulated drugs and cause many health issues. When countries like Germany, they just legalized it the other year. Canada is legal. Many states. I mean, because we're in modern times now. England needs to wake up, man.
Very impassioned call there, Neofetus. Thank you very much indeed. Now, Chris says, I'm a human being. Excellent. I'm a human being living on planet Earth. Even better. Who has the right to tell me what drugs I can take? Why not think beyond the obvious? Well, so since time immemorial, governments all over the world have legislated on what you can or can't put in your body, whether it's to do with drugs, whether it's to do with sugar nowadays as well, which I must admit I've always thought was going it a bit. But in the end, the argument that it's my body, I can do what I like with it, I think is indeed a very strong one. But when it starts to affect other people, that's when the problems start, isn't it? Because taking drugs can affect other people, but similarly, drinking too much alcohol can affect other people as well. This is, I think, one of the most difficult issues that we have to deal with in our society. Ross is in Elverdon, in Norfolk. Hello, Ross. I used to love driving through Elverdon until they did the bypass, which I guess you're very glad about.
Hello, Ian. Yes, absolutely. I think everybody that lives in Elverdon around it is very grateful for that bypass. You remember sitting in the traffic.
I do. Anyway, drugs.
Yes, there's been lots of really good arguments made, and some of them really substantiate, I think, the points I was going to make when I spoke to you. But certainly the point the Anaesthetist made around the regulation and the medical control, the point your last caller made about the tax benefits of legalising drugs. But your initial question was really valid. Where do we draw the line? And fortunately, that's been done for us by our very own government. So back in 2010, Professor David Nutt, who was the government's drug czar at the time, and is still probably one of the world's most eminent experts on drugs and the harms that they do, wrote a paper called Drug Harms in the UK, a Multi-Criteria Decision Analysis. And in that, he qualified the drugs that we see commonly in the UK, and he ranked them. He ranked them in the harm to the users and the harm to others. And he found in that report that the two drugs that we legalize and we sell and we regulate already very commonly in this country, alcohol and tobacco, are actually far more dangerous than many of the other drugs that are currently illegal, and there's no call to be decriminalized or legalized. And I think using that data in a peer-reviewed, scientifically created, very objective report, we can quite easily see that drugs like cannabis, like mushrooms, like ecstasy, like LSD, are far less harmful both to the users and to the people around those users than drugs that we all quite happily consume, or many of us consume in our daily lives, alcohol and tobacco. So it seems very hypocritical from the government's perspective to say that, yes, we will have tobacco, yes, we will have alcohol, we'll collect the tax on those, and we'll allow our people in this country to use those drugs, but other drugs, which are demonstrably less harmful, are criminalised, and you will go to prison for, you will cost the taxpayer money, and you won't benefit from the tax. So it just seems really clear that the work has already been done to say that alcohol had considerable harm to others, considerable harm to the user. Actually, David Nutt in the report said it was more harmful than heroin, more harmful than crack, more harmful than cocaine, and primarily because of the people around the user base. So if those things are legal, what justification is there from the government to make other drugs that are demonstrably less harmful illegal?
Ross, good question. Thank you very much indeed. Now, we'll take more of your calls on drugs reform in just a moment. But coming up tomorrow, an LBC exclusive, our crime correspondent Andy Hughes has been looking at the scale of knife crime in our schools and playgrounds.
More and more children are choosing to carry knives, and they're not afraid to use them. Make no mistake about it, this is the biggest threat to young lives we've ever faced in this country.
Do you know anyone who's been stabbed?
Yeah, I know, quite a few people.
Our investigation can reveal that thousands of children are now taking deadly weapons into their own schools.
You'd bring the knife into school?
Yeah.
And what's worse, they're getting younger.
The youngest one for me was 9.
So what is happening to the younger generation? What's changed?
We're living in a digital world now where violent behaviour is almost normalised in the minds of some young people.
And you can hear that exclusive report here on LBC all day tomorrow. More of your calls to come after this. It is 9:46.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Simon Marks.
They've already had a 22% pay rise. Now the country's resident doctors want another 29%. If they vote to go on strike, will you back them?
Simon Marks on LBC.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains a Foxolana.
At Halfords, we want you to say yes to packing more into summer days with a great value roof box or bike rack. Say yes to freewheeling fun with bikes and gear for all the family. Say yes to a perfectly polished car with our range of car cleaning products. And say yes to easy breezy trips with a free aircon check. Our experts are on hand with checks, advice and fitting. So pop into your local store or shop online and say yes to summer at Halfords. Subject to availability, see halfords.com for full T's and C's.
How do you grow a perfectly sweet strawberry? Well, it takes more than just soil and water, but time, care and the best conditions to flourish. At Tesco, we keep every strawberry warm during the day and cold during the night to ensure they develop the sweetest flavour. It may seem like a little thing, but to us, it's everything. Now, if you don't mind, the strawberries are sleeping. Tesco. Every little helps.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips for the football?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They're giving new customers a terrific welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they'll give you £30 in free bets.
Oh, that's a steal of a deal.
It's a good darn deal that'll make you squeal for real. Neil?
My name's not Neil.
I know. but it rhymes.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the football at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in and bet on any football marketing at odds of evens or greater. No cash out, 7-day expiry. Terms and conditions apply at gambleaware.org.
Ian Dale on LBC.
9.48 on LBC. Roger from Cork says, Ian, I'm a 68-year-old man. I enjoy smoking a little cannabis every Friday night and listening to music. I don't do anybody anyhow. Why should I be criminalised? I know what you mean, Roger. Think about your text next time. Let's go to Ben, who's a new caller in Cambridge. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Dale. Mr. Dale. Hi, yes. I'm 65
years old. You can call me Ian,
old.
It's fine.
Sorry, Ian. First time I've called. I'm 65 years old now, 66 this year, and in a nutshell, I was prescribed dimorphine hydrochloride when I was living in Kennington, which is heroin. I was already a heroin addict by then, but I got an NHS doctor in Croydon, and I had a prescription with him for 2 years. And after that, because they stopped prescribing heroin, I was prescribed by my GP injectable ampules of Fisepone, which is methadone, and I had six of those a day for 18 years until I was 40. So during that period, I'd got away from London. The courts had made me live in Cambridge as a condition of my bail. I managed to volunteer first, slowly got a job, and have got a life since then without stability. So it was a 20-year stability when nearly all of the people who I knew had died from HIV. They were prostituting themselves, shoplifting. And I won't say much more now, but it's just, if you have the stability and a supportive GP with a maintenance prescription, even injectables, it can work. I'm in full-time employment for the last 20 years. Slowly I've upped my hours. I work in a caring profession, shall I say. My managers know my history. It's on my enhanced CRB check. And it's a long CRB check, but for me, it just shows social inclusion at its best in highlight. Yeah, I'm 65 now, and I just think that we have this British system 30, 40 years ago, which other countries are emulating now, and we were the ones who, you know, I think showed the way, really.
It's a really interesting perspective there, because it's not one we hear very often from people who have been at the sharp end of this. And so what you're effectively saying is that the system has actually worked in your case. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll work for anyone, but you're actually against decriminalisation.
I think that if GPs could prescribe it, or in safe places like it was in the 80s and 90s. I had a maintenance prescription, and it was me who gave it up. I thought, right, you know, I could go with this for the rest of my life. But I thought, no, I want to get off this. I want to feel things again, because it was numbing me. My parents died during this time, and so it depends what you mean decriminalising, because if you're prescribed it, if you're prescribed dimorphine or Fisepone ampules for injection, if you're an injection drug user, it's, you know, some people after years of using find that the stability and knowing you've got the security of a prescription gets you away from the people you mixed with and stops you doing all the illegal things, the antisocial things, and you get the stability with your family back again. And I've slowly worked my way up till I was 14, and I thought, right, I'm coming off now. I don't want to have any of this. I grew up, I think. It took me a long time, but...
Well, that's an important point, isn't it? Because I think you've got to want to do it yourself. It's not something that you can force on people. You've actually got to, A, decide that you want to do it, and then have the mental strength to carry it through, which you clearly have done, Ben. And really, really informative call. Thank you for phoning in. Roger says, skunk number one was just a strain, just like Granny Smith's as a type of apple. Skunk number one was grown in California 30 or 40 years ago, and you could say a lot of other strains were crossed with skunk number one, but that genie can't go back in. Why would anyone want something tame and mild type of cannabis? A legal framework would never be able to compete with the black market if you limit what users can purchase. Current street price of prime California grade cannabis is £150 to £200 an ounce. Let's see the legal side beat that with all of the overheads and tax. David's a new caller in Newcastle. Hello, David.
Hello, how are you doing? Thanks for taking me call.
Not at all. What would you like to say?
Yeah, in reference with the heroin and the opium thing. I mean, don't get us wrong, I'm not educated in the history of it. I'm just reading this from what I've got in front of us. And opium was first cultivated in 3400 BC. And then you leap forward through all of the people in the countries who've used it, and we come to 1750, and the British East India Company assumes control of it, and they're blasting it all over the country. So we are to blame again. And then there's an opium war with China. We win the first one, and we lose the second one. And it's still leaping about all over through history, right through to the Chinese. In 1839, Lin Chiaosu, the Imperial Chinese Commissioner, bans it in the first Opium War. And it goes through, and it's a horrendous thing. And yes, I know it's got wonderful things for medicine and pain killing and all the rest of it. But when it's on the streets, like you see, and the main reason for my call tonight was I watched a report about the first drug-taking house in Scotland. And the poor people that have got to live next to that, when you've got a nursery right next to it where they've got to check the sand pit with a metal detector to make sure there's no needles, and this poor girl that was living there was wading through needles. You can't walk through without the fear of, and I mean, it was like a blanket of needles, terrifying. And there can't be any reason why heroin should be anywhere near anybody in this country or any other country, because it is just nasty stuff. But there's no political will to get rid of it.
Well, is it even possible?
I don't know. I'm not that clever. But, I mean, there's the Golden Triangle. There's a reason, I think, why these countries where it is very predominant have the death penalty for smuggling. Because I would imagine, I mean, I haven't got that in front of us, but I would imagine that somewhere through history, governments have fallen because of heroin addiction.
Well, maybe, but you look at the American government, and I mean, America, in some cities in America now, the opioid problem is so big that I think city administrations are falling. But of course, in many states in America, they have the death penalty, so I'm not sure that it would solve anything. David, thank you. Nick is in Vancouver now. Nick, soft drugs have been declassified in Canada for some time. How's that worked out?
Well, I'm a foster parent of fairly severely addicted teenagers, and I've worked on both sides of legalization. Cannabis here is completely legal. We have shops in the high street. They're generally very middle class, very plush looking. I literally went in to buy a couple of ready rolls for a friend of mine yesterday, $40 for five at about a 34% THC level, which is quite strong. It's been a complete success here. There have been no downsides whatsoever. The kids that I work with that would normally be recruited into what the sort of Canadian equivalent of county line drug gangs are no longer accessible to those. Like it has cut the legs out of the criminal enterprises, because marijuana is that's the big money earner for criminals. So if you legalize it, there are still coke dealers and heroin dealers. And there is still a little illegal marijuana out there, but it's cheaper in the stores, even with tax.
Okay, Nick, we have to leave it there because we've come to the end of the programme. The prize for most exotic listener this evening is the exotically named Mercedes, who's listening from Ruurtu. Good job Roy Jenkins isn't here pronouncing that, in French Polynesia. Living here since 2022, my husband is from here, island population of 2,100, 550 kilometres from Tahiti. Our grown-up children are still in the UK, so keeping up to date with the UK info is interesting and important to us. Best wishes from the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Thanks for all of your calls and messages this evening. I'm back tomorrow from 7. Download your official LBC app for free from your App Store now, and you can listen to all my different podcasts. Coming up at 1 on LBC, it's Richard Spur. But right now, here's someone who's always high on life and only deals in news. It's Simon Mars.
What was the name of that place again?
Ruurtu.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ian. I'm here till 1 at midnight. How old is too old to be a parent? We'll talk about the couple, both aged 72, now parenting a surrogate baby boy who is just 16 months old. The parents were born when Churchill was Prime Minister. At 11, don't put your daughter on a plane to an American university, Mrs. Worthington. As Donald Trump suspends all visa interviews for international students, I'll tell you why you should probably pick somewhere else. And this hour, a blow for the country's resident doctors as they seek another pay rise. Fewer than half of you say you will support them if they take strike action. And in the last few minutes, Wes Streeting has urged them to vote no.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Benjamin